1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 14. There are just some very interesting statements here. We're going to try to look at them as time allows us to. Verse number 14, chapter 5. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. That's why I ask you if you're rejoicing. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we exhort you, Paul writes. Now we urge you, now we encourage you to do some things. Okay, put your Bibles down for a moment. I'm just going to talk to you. The church in America is lacking for spiritual fathers and mothers. We're lacking for people who will invest their lives in mentoring and helping and ministering to others. We get so caught up in what we're going through, and we get so caught up in looking at our own issues, we really don't take the time to consider others. Therefore, a lot of people are missing what God wants them to be because nobody's taking them under their wing and fathering them and mothering them and loving them and teaching them that some of the stuff they go through is just kind of normal. What does a father and mother do? What do you do as a parent? What do you do when your kids are hurt? What do you do when your kids are, somebody said something nasty to them in school, or something happened to them, or the devil attacked them? We encourage them. We love them. We help them. And if this is the only thing you get out of it, make yourself available as we see people come in just to walk up them to them and say, hey, if you ever need help, I want to be there. I want to love you. I want to be your friend. I want to take you under my wing. I want to help see you be discipled in the body of Christ. And you know something? When we focus only on ourselves, everything gets blown out of proportion. When we just focus on my needs and what I'm going through, and we've told you many, many times, the Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlet. It takes in, it takes in, it takes in, it takes in, but it never gives. The kingdom of God is that God so loved that he gave, and he saved us and filled us and ministered to us so we can also give. And what a privilege it is just to take somebody under your arm and put your arm around them and say, hey, I know you're going through a tough time, but you're going to make it. God has faith in you. I have faith in you. Let's get together. Let's visit. Let's talk. Encourage. But for various reasons, Maybe you've never been told that before. Maybe you just look at your life and say, I got a big enough thing getting my kids through, my grandkids, whoever it might be. And God is saying, hey, wait a minute. Here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to care. Here's how I want you to love that person that seems alone in the church and nobody cares for. It seems like we're all alone this morning. Preaching to empty pews. But that's okay. Because as God began to lay this in my heart, God knew who'd be here. You know, you'll say, but it can be risky. Of course it can. You can get hurt. Do you understand Jesus' discipleship program? He took 12 men. And for 3.5 years, he took them under his wings and taught them. Knowing all the time, we don't have that information. Knowing all the time that one of those 12 would betray him. But he took the risk. And he vested his life in 12 men who eventually rose to the top spiritually and preached at times, and 3,000 got saved and 5,000 got saved. And invested their life in a man by the name of Saul, who became Paul, as they took him under their wings and into their group. And God is looking at the church today and said, basically, the church at times is a mess. Forgive me. And I'm going to tell you, there are times I pout and I'm a baby. And there are times the most important thing to me is me. But God's lifted me out of that. Because you start investing your life in others, the things you're going through seem at times insignificant. And besides that, when you're investing your life in others, somebody else is praying for you. Can we say amen? Amen. You believe it? Don't avoid the newcomers. One more thing as I'm here. I know in my spirit some that's left are coming back. I know that. When they come back, take them under your wing. Don't ask them goofy things. Just say, hey, I'm glad to see you. I love you. It's good to have you back. Just let them know. Give them a hug. If I can help you, I'm here. We okay? This thing is going to grow. We're not on a slippery slope like I was yesterday morning trying to get here. That was fun. Was fun, Tony. Were you sanding? Okay. So in this whole process of the church being the church, of the church representing Jesus, of the church being filled with the Holy Spirit, say one thing. Say, I am the church. How many? You see, we associate the church with this. I can't reach it. We associate church with a building, and that's where people messed up. Whether you're here or not on Sunday morning, you're still the church. Now don't say, well, Pastor said I don't have to come because I'm the church. I could just stay home and be the church. I hear myself. I know there's warnings here. There's red flags. There's people looking at me saying, okay, bedside assembly from now on. I just want to share something because it was kind of cute. I meet some people in Britain at a restaurant or a truck stop or whatever they call them. And so this lady's been always picking on me. You know, I don't deserve it, but she picks on me. And I would never say anything to offend her. But she gets offended very hard. And so she was looking at me, and I was sitting with a couple guys, and she says all kinds of stuff over there. And so finally, she sat down to eat some things, and I was going, and the people had left, and I just walked over. I said, you know, I really enjoy my life, but I want you to understand something. I enjoy the jokes. I enjoy all the laughing, but one thing I'm very serious about is God. And she looked at me. And she said, well, I don't go to church or haven't been to church. She said, I get everything I need on Facebook. She said, if I need prayer, if I need this, I get it on Facebook. And I thought, whoa. You know, it wasn't God's intention. The body needs to function as the body. Now what I'm talking, you know, I was cutting meat the other day, and I cut more than meat, thinking about something, and I'm glad Dave hadn't sharpened it. Well, the funny part of it is I'm sitting with with Pastor Dave and Jeannie, and all of a sudden my finger starts dripping blood all over the breakfast party table. I just kind of lost my appetite. But what I want to really talk to you about is Christ's involvement in the church, in the body. Have we looked and understand that God wants me to love you as much as he loves you? And you to love one another with that same love that he has. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you saw your 2 or 3 year old playing out here in the street, would just leave them stand there? How many of you would make a decision to go get them off that street? And you wouldn't be kind of just saying, I guess I better go get them. You know, and you realize semis come down that road, county trucks come down that road, people drive down that road. I look 3 or 4 times now before I pull out because Jerry comes down that road. So we want to get all the kids off the road. Paul just writes some pretty interesting things, and I'll try not to keep you too long. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, that you warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, and uphold the weak. I got out all my Greek this week. Just start looking. That you exhort, or that you admonish. You admonish those who are disobedient to God's word. You admonish those who are going the wrong direction. It's not getting in their face. You're not doing something because you just have to do it. You're doing it because you love them. You're inviting them back. You're saying, I'm here for you. If you have a struggle with something, I'll pray for you. I'll stand with you. I'll help you. How many of you have asked, where is somebody that hasn't been here lately? How many called them? How many took more time than to ask Pastor how come they're not here? Can you imagine if somebody walks away and, yeah, they may slip back. Go get them. Jesus left the 99 and went looking for the one. He loved them. So we come to a place where we get involved. We have the heart of God. We feel the Father's love. And it tears us up when somebody's going the wrong direction for a while. Do you understand? Is it okay? Is it okay if you love somebody who walks out of the church and hasn't been back for 3 or 4 months or 6 months? Don't just scratch their name off. Make a point of contact so you can speak into their life. Hello? We okay? Don't take a journey on me now. Don't let your mind get out there and you got 40 names that you need to get out and do. Just hang tight. I can tell when I'm losing you. I've preached for a long time.
That's why you're losing us. You preach for a long time. Oh.
Okay, you can go home. Go to your room without lunch.
You got them all back again.
Thank you. Say some other wise remark. I need more. I resemble that. Comfort the faint-hearted. Comfort those who are losing hope. Comfort those who are going through, and you can tie in the weakness with that. The faint-hearted in the Greek means a despondent. Means those who are down. Means those that nothing's going the way they figured it would go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever been in the middle of that? You have all these visions. Something like the Denver Broncos yesterday. Had all these visions and one pass, pshew, to the wrong colored shirt. Change the game. Just the wrong color. I don't know. I could always tell the difference between orange and white when I was playing. You know, you build things up. You plan things. You put things together. You got ideas. You set aside even some finances. Or you got it so it's just perfect. And all of a sudden, one little thing just absolutely collapses. And it's over. What do you do? What do you do? You call your Christian brother or sister, and they're rearranging their sock drawer. They don't have time. Comfort. Encourage, help, strengthen. There was a young man who was stabbed to death in Peaver last weekend. I know the family. I should have went out there. We just got what we think was too busy. Comfort those hurting. Makes you stop and think. He says, uphold or strengthen the weak. Uphold the weak. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 15 and verse 1, we who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak. We who are strong ought to bear with those weaknesses, whether they're spiritual or whether they're physical. We need to undergird them. How many have heard that we're a family? My question to you, are we? I'm not being mean. I'm just asking a question. Does your family function like this church? Just a thought. No condemnation. I'm not condemning. I told you we're going deep in some of this stuff about Jesus. I want to get us there. I want to get us there. There are times that we're a family. Honestly, there's a time that you walk in here and everybody's loving on everybody and everybody wants to befriend everybody and everybody wants to help everybody. And then there's a time like after dinner on Christmas when you just can't wait for people to leave. Hello? We okay? Love is always treating people like God would treat them. I read in a book that Tricia brought me and Stephen, and said this, and I put it on Facebook. You probably saw it. That was your lesson for the week. What's that word I'm looking for? Arrogance. Arrogance is not thinking too much of yourself. It's thinking too little of others. Just coming to a place where others aren't important. Help the weak. Help the sick. Help the spiritual, those in trouble. Those out there all alone. Help them. Do you ever make up your mind to get even with somebody? Don't render or don't return evil for evil, but do good. Vengeance is mine, the Bible says. I will repay, saith the Lord. Paul had a neat way of doing it. Alexander the coppersmith did me evil. The Lord rewarded him according to his works. That wouldn't go over your head. When we decide that somebody did me wrong and I'm going to pay them back by ignoring them, not talking to them, doing something to them, we're the ones that get hurt. You're the one drinking the poison. The arsenic or the strychnine might be 98% water and 2% poison. Focus on doing good. Anyone you haven't forgiven? Good time to do it this morning. Amen? Come on. You're not hurting them. I'll stop. I know. It gets heavy. Say something now. We need some encouragement. A couple more and I'm going to let you go. Maybe. Rejoice every once in a while. What does it say? Okay. Okay, look at me now. Don't put your Bibles away yet. What makes you excited? The moose? The elk? The bear? Tony? Shopping? Finding the best deal? Man, I found this $298 thing. I don't know what it is, but it's only $2. I'm buying it. The word rejoice means to be elated, thrilled, excited, full of joy over. Who can do that for you? How long has it been since you've been excited about Jesus? How long has it been since you've just been absolutely thrilled? And you got out of your car this morning and you were going to run to the church and all you did was spin. No studded shoes. Rejoice. Can I tell you something? God's not your 911 number. You contact 911 only occasionally. We'll talk about that in prayer without ceasing. God is a family member. God sits at your table. God goes to work with you. God sleeps with you at night. Do you ever think about that? He's there. Rejoice in Him. When we lose our first love or start focusing on something else, God is put down in our lives. When He's our first love and we're focusing on Him, we're praying, we're talking to Him. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about relationship. And as you're rejoicing always in the Lord and your life in the Lord, how many of you were in a mess before you came to Jesus? The rest of you are saints. I'm sorry. I need to bring the message up to your level. Aren't you thankful and aren't you excited about the fact that He picked you up out of the miry clay, set your feet upon a solid rock, established your going, put the Holy Spirit within you. He guides and leads and directs and protects and loves and honors. And then we get up on Sunday morning. Oh, you mean I have to go to church? Got to go see that guy with the guitar jump up and down like he's still a kid? My turn. But rejoice. Rejoice. Paul writes in Philippians 4, he was in prison. If you go to the prison epistles, Philippians is one of them. Paul was in prison. He said, I'm ready to die in chapter 2. And then chapter 4, he's still in prison and he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. Like we said earlier, Paul wasn't threatened by heaven or with heaven. Pray without ceasing. What's that mean? Stay on your knees 24/7? I looked that up in the Greek because I want to know what ceasing meant. Every time I go to Bemidji, we usually go by a funeral home called Cease's Funeral Home. You'll sink in sometime. I thought if I was at that funeral home, I'd change my name. The connotation here is this. Every time you have an opportunity, pray. Instead of daydream, pray. Give your life to prayer. I used to teach, it's an attitude. Just be in an attitude of prayer, and that can be part of it. But every time you have an opportunity to pray, pray. wake up in the middle of the night, pray. I got three more pages of notes if you want to. In everything, give thanks. Look at me. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God? You ever ask yourself that? You mean what I'm going through, God designed? Not always. As I study that and read that and read that, my philosophy have changed. The key is not giving thanks for all the bad things that are happening to you. The key is to have an attitude of thanksgiving. The key to it is thanking God he's getting you through it, thanking God he's taking care of you, thanking God he loves you, thanking God that he's with you, thanking God that you're not going through that alone, thanking God that you are a victor, not a victim. Thanking God that in the midst of the darkness there's a peace. And thanking God that even in the darkness the light's shining. Tears endure for the night, but joy comes when? In the morning. There's always a morning. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Just walk with thanksgiving. Just walk in thanksgiving. Remember, all things work together for those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose. You're people of purpose. You're people of destiny. You're people that God has designed and planned out your very life. Don't get sidetracked by getting bitter or allowing anger to creep in or allowing frustration or fear or whatever it might be. Don't allow that to happen to you. Because you've been designed by God to be a blessing. You've been designed for that purpose. And don't walk around looking for pennies on the ground. Oh, it's so hard. It's such a tough life. Lift up your head and rejoice. Your redemption draweth nigh. It's a time for the church to be the church. It's time for the church to love people. It's time for the church to go out of our way to see that God has the opportunity to touch every unsaved person in this community because they see Jesus in us. And we're an example to them. I told you a few weeks ago, hey, I love you. You're the best. But it doesn't mean we've arrived yet. We're moving up where God wants to take us. And let's do it together. Let's do it arm in arm, embraced by the Spirit of God, looking out for other people, looking for those who are lost, looking for those who are walking away, and they don't even know where they're going, they're just walking. There's a love relationship that God has brought to this body, but it can go deeper. We are a family, but we can still look out for the rest of the family a little better. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Hallelujah. And Paul prays, my prayer is this, that you be preserved blameless, spirit, soul, and body, till the coming of the Lord. God just dropped a word in my heart, and it's not on my notes. It's just simply this. God is saying, I have more faith in you than you have in yourself. I have more faith in you than you've ever really thought of having in yourself. Stand with me, will you? If God spoke to you this morning and you came up here for prayer, don't lose that as you walk out. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. That's God's word to you. Whatever you face, God spoke to your heart. God doesn't lie.